This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And CISO.
Hello, welcome to Seagulls Social Season 4, Episode 31. It's a shame 31 didn't score that near post shot yesterday, but it's okay because we're joined with Maz. No Ben today. Is he working, Maz? Am I right in saying he's working? I think he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Good, good. Yeah, it was good to go watch the game yesterday. Obviously, not the result we wanted. And also, as well, I had to get the train down, obviously, from London, and there was rail replacements, so that was fun. I had to get a taxi from Three Bridges to the game. And, yeah, that was not fun. A taxi from Three Bridges, so that sent me back a nice 50 quid. And then, yeah, got to watch Everton go 1-0 up and us score a last-minute equaliser. So, yeah, always fun, isn't it, Ryan? Always fun. And how are you?
Yeah, you've basically just analysed the game, to be fair. That's it. But no, I'm good, mate. I'm good. To be honest, as I said to you, I really wanted to beat Everton. I know we didn't get to do an Everton preview in the end, but you know that I really wanted to beat Everton. So that was one of those things. But we didn't. But I think
that
we definitely probably would have come away with a bit of a last laugh. You can. I can tell you sort of why. It's someone that I... No, and they aren't very nice. And I just thought, do you know what would be poetic timing at the time where it is? Would be great because something happened and things have been going on. And it's nothing to do with me, don't get me wrong. But it's just been one of those things where I thought, I'd love to just you know what I mean? But unfortunately, it didn't quite happen like that. But it has got a bit of a last laugh in there, I think, with the dunk moment. But before we get into all of that stuff, let's talk about first half, Maz. We got to say, I think we started really, really well. I actually did. I thought the passing was good. I thought first, what was it 20, 30 minutes? I thought Adingra and Facundo were looking proper sharp. And Danny Welbeck, actually, by the way. But yeah, you're taking first 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, mate. I was going to bring up Adingra, actually, because yeah, he was playing on the side I was sat for the first half, and I thought the first 15 minutes, I thought Godfrey is in for a long, long evening or afternoon. And yeah, after that first sort of 15, 20 minutes, to be fair to Godfrey, sort of, I think he worked out Adingra quite well, because only thing I'd say about Adingra is he's quite predictable at times, which, don't get me wrong, he's a brilliant dribbler and he's brilliant at attacking players, but sometimes he can be slightly predictable. And I think after, 20 minutes or so, Godfrey did sort of realise, okay, what's going on? But he couldn't deal with the pace. The ball's in behind to Adingra. The sprays that we were making, he didn't really know how to sort of deal with that pace and that forward running from Adingra. But then, yeah, I think second half he had his number and Adingra actually ended up switching sides, which was interesting. Yeah, it was a good start from us. Yeah, really bright start, like you said. Even well, I remember that chance Welbeck had in the box where he didn't get shot away and he got tackled in the end. So yeah, it was a really, really bright start, and I thought it was going to be a good afternoon for us. But yeah, Everton defended well, I suppose. Very Sean Dyche-esque style. They were very resolute. They were hard to break down, low block, as we expected from them. They weren't going to come and attack us at the Amex. So, yeah, it was sort of what we expected from Everton. And that disgusting, you know, I'm sure we'll get onto the second half. But, yeah, that sort of hammer blow where they scored their goal and the Amex fell silent. And it's weird, actually, on that, because usually when someone scores it at the Amex, we're usually pretty good at, like, roaring back and we're like, come on lads, let's get back into it. But it was this weird like 5 minute silence where it was just like, what's just happened? Why have we conceded? And it was a bit strange actually, the atmosphere after that goal. But it was something I just picked up on. And yeah, first half, yeah, we were the better side, but we just didn't get our goal, and Everton grew into it.
Yeah, I think the silence thing, I don't know. I probably wouldn't say it's that unusual. I think when you're losing to a team that's below you in the relegation zone, naturally you're just going to be shocked. I've got to be honest. The thing that I shouted before that shot happened was, don't let them score. And I think as soon as that happens, it's, how have we done this again? You know what I mean? It's that instant from 0 to 100 reaction of, it's happened every single time we play a team in the relegation zone. And it's got to be honest, like, they weren't very good. They didn't do that much throughout the course of the game. And I thought that happened, as you say, it's like a sucker punch, isn't it? And I've got to be honest, I sat there for about 10 minutes just... I mean, I think we even had a 2 or 3, 4 moments coming forward after that I just didn't even react to. It just felt like prime 2018 reactions right there of, yeah, this isn't great. But I thought Everton were actually pretty poor, if I'm honest. They looked like a relegation threatened team until that point. And I think that's my frustration in it. It's like, yeah, you want to get more out of that. But we'll just speak about individuals quickly, because I want to talk about at the back. I thought they were quite good winning headers. I thought that Dominic Calvert-Lewin first, I'd say, half hour, 45 again. I'd say he was probably getting the better of Van Hecker in the air. But I think overall, we didn't really let them do too much, did we?
No, 100%. I think there was that one moment, obviously, again, we're going to get onto the attack, Lamptey clearance. I think that was the standout moment for me in terms of Everton's attacking prowess. And then, yeah, they had, what was it, that one, another, basically they had like maybe 2-3 chances at a push where you think, okay, they might score here. But you're right, I didn't think they were anything special. I don't think, you know, the least we deserved was a draw from that game. And I think Everton weren't great on the day, but they've obviously come away with a great point in their eyes. When we've gone down to 10 men, they're probably looking at it, well, we should be winning this. And Pickford's time wasting was just horrible. You don't want to be seeing that. And I know you feel the same about his antics.
Pickford.
It's frustrating, isn't it? It's so frustrating. And yeah, it's just it's their game plan, isn't it? I think frustrate their opponents, play that sort of tight ball and low block, and just be a frustrating team to play. And it worked, to be honest with us, with you. I think, you know, it showed. I'm not saying Gilmore was a frustration thing. It was obviously just a lack of concentration from his part. But yeah, it's just something they do, Everton. And yeah, I agree with you, Ryan. I don't think they were that great, and we should really have gone away with 3 points. Will we look back at that and think, is that a chance missed in terms of come the end of the season? I don't know. But given the circumstances, a point with 10 men, I would have taken it at that stage.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm definitely happy with the result. When you look at everything that's happened, I'm happy with the result. I think when you see the scores of the day, obviously Manchester United quite comically lost to Fulham in the 97th minute. And then you've got, I think it was Newcastle got battered at Arsenal. So that actually helped us a lot. That I must admit, I was quite happy with both of them. So I thought actually we have gained a point here, because, you know, Newcastle are below us. I think United now only 5 points above us. So we're all pushing for the same thing. And I think, overall, I said it an unpopular opinion a while ago, I do fancy us against United and Newcastle. I think we are a better team than them. And I think that, you know, when you see them dropping points, you think, OK, we've still got it in us. But we may as well, you mentioned the Billy Red, and we may as well talk about it early on, because it's all obviously in everyone's minds, isn't it? And I think nearly anyone that's watching this podcast, the first thing that comes to mind is something that changes the game so much. Yes, I think it's probably a red. but I think it's the way of the game now that it's a red. I think the trouble was, and I don't ever agree with this, is that once the referee's given it, it's not going to be overturned. I hate that rule. I hate how that works. I know that it's the thing and that's what it is.
Yeah.
But that's it. And I think once he's given that, but then you see the Maguire one in the United game, as it's one of them where you're like, where's the consistency of laws here? You know, where's the consistency coming from? And don't get me wrong, I think it was reckless-ish. I think he probably would have broken his leg if it followed through properly. But again, you see them sort of challenges happen in the lower leagues all the time and get missed. But, you know, I don't know. It is probably a red card from me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think, like you say, in today's game, that's only too old. In today's game, I think, unfortunately, that is a red card. But, yeah, I don't think it was any ill intention. I think it was just one of those challenges where he sort of, you know, he's overran and he's gone for it. And, yeah, he has connected with him. And when you look it back, in the moment, though, I remember watching it and I turned around to my mate. I was like, that's not a red card. I don't think that's a red card. I think that's just, you know, a clash. And then, yeah, when I got back home,
because obviously I was shouting, refund my season ticket right now. That's literally at the top of my words.
But do you know what the frustrating thing is, Ryan? Obviously, in the stadium, I know that they can't show it for whatever reason, but it's so frustrating when you're in the stadium and you don't know what's going on. You're like, was it a red card? Like, you're messaging people that might be able to see it on socials or whatever. And you're like, oh, like, was it a red card? Then, yeah, of course, at halftime, you can have a look on Twitter or whatever. But it's just, yeah, it's annoying that you don't know in that moment. And it's like, was it a red card? Was it not? And you're sort of doubting yourself. And then, yeah, when you get home or at half, you know, after the game, whatever, you can check the replays. But yeah, in the moment, I didn't think it was, but definitely watching the replays, unfortunately for him, it is a red card. And it's a big loss, you know, three games out now. I know one of them is a cup game, which is pretty good for us, I think, Wolves. And then, yeah, is it Spurs and Fulham, I want to say, that he misses out
Fulham,
on.
Fulham, yeah.
So, yeah. Spurs. You know,
Fulham,
Wolves, and I don't know the third game.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's going to miss out on three games, which is annoying. And but look, hopefully this is a chance now for Belaba to come in. You know, can he show his worth? Can he replace Gilmore for those games and become a bit more important to the side? So. But you know, it won't count for Roma. It's a league game.
Oh yeah, good point. It's Forest in the home match.
That's it, yeah, Forest. That's it. Yeah, Forest. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, but it's an opportunity for Blaber. He can come in now and play a few games. So, you know, could he step up and take his chance, I suppose, and show what he's all about? And yeah. You know, it's not the end of the world, but of course Billy Gilmore is a big loss. He's been fantastic for us, so it is a big shame.
Yeah, it's a shame of Gilmore, because he's been so good for us this season, really has. And then it's the system that Roberto plays is so important for. Obviously, there's no doubting that Belaba's going to be a good player in the future, but obviously it's a big now responsibility for him, or potentially Moda, Lallana, but probably not convinced that Lallana can do 90 at the moment, or maybe even this season at the moment, if I'm honest. But again, the jury's out on that, because there's an opportunity here. But yeah, I think what you said about the fact of, you know, not showing the replays in stadiums and stuff, and obviously the Premier League don't care about the fans. We know that. Everyone knows that, right? The fans are the unfortunately in the modern game, the bottom of the pecking order. And as unfortunate and sad as it sounds very depressing, isn't it? And I think if you ever looked at the realities of modern football, you probably wouldn't watch it. But it's true. And I think, yeah, I don't get why they do that. And I don't get why they have to hide certain things. If they just showed you what's going on, it would make so much more sense.
Yeah, it's weird.
For me, actually, the frustrations are more about the inconsistencies of laws, yellow cards and diving, cheating, time wasting. I think these are the sort of things that go over the radar, under the radar probably too much, is that. And I saw the one of Bruno Fernandes. And while I'm on the Bruno topic, I wanted to talk about Pascal Gross. Because I remember in the last episode, I was talking about how I rated Bruno Fernandes below Pascal. Quite controversially, I expected that. I don't care. Because when I see that game, for Fulham, and that little dive that he does, and he does every week. Let's face it, he lives for this, Bruno.
Disgraceful,
Fernandez.
Yeah.
But how can you look up to him, mate, as a leader, as a captain of your football team? And not just that, but I mean, Pascal does the similar sort of output anyway. And for me, I couldn't have a player like that in our team. I would lose it. And I don't like it when you see Facundo on the floor sometimes, or, you know, sometimes we do go down quite easily. And I hate that. I hate it so much, because I know that, you know, when you see, as you say, Pickford yesterday, I think, what's his name? The centre-back was quite lucky to get away with it. Tarkowski was quite lucky to stay on the pitch yesterday. You know, there's so many little bits and pieces that teams do, and I don't know how they get away with it, Maz. It just seems to do a job on us somehow. The cheating and time wasting, it needs to stop. And as I said, the players take responsibility, but I just don't think it will change at the moment. And it's really annoying until someone clamps down on it. But you can't exactly trust the referees, can you?
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like, you know, the 6 second rule that's apparently in place. Pickford, I think, must have been about 20 seconds every time he had the ball, and you know, he was doing
at least his little dancing.
Yeah, and like, he's doing all his dancing after they scored. And I was just like, "You're just a prick, aren't you?" But yeah, he's good at riling up fans, I suppose. And I suppose when you score as well away, you're welcome to be happy. But yeah, no, it was just really frustrating to see him time wasting. And then it was so nice. It was so nice that we scored, because then it's like, go on then, time waste now. Now that we've scored. So yeah, like you say though, it does come down to the system and, you know, the football league and the referees. They need to be more strict with it. Otherwise, nothing's going to change, like you say.
No, exactly. I remember it happened at Chelsea. Robert Sanchez was just, I think the away end counted, literally vocally counted the amount of seconds that he was on the ball for. We're getting to 30, 40. Mm. This guy's allowed six seconds. Like, how the referees, and bear in mind, he got away from that game without a booking. He came out without a booking. It's just stupid. And yeah, I think, as I say, the players need to take responsibility, but they don't, and they won't, because they don't care. And I get it, because they're richer and more in their own worlds than we'll ever be. But yeah, it's just frustrating, mate. And I don't know how you stop it and what you do to stop it. But I think it's not just that, it's the diving as well. And I think when Sean Dyche was on the post-match, and he was saying about how he's don't know where the 9 minutes come from, I was thinking, Sean, this is your tactics from minute one, mate. Like, how could you even say that?
I saw that on the touchline. He literally went to the system referee. He was like, where'd you get 9 minutes from? And it's like, mate, we've had, I think it was, at least four subs each, I think, or three, four subs each. No, we made five. They made at least three. Then you've got the red card. Then you had Onana down for the challenge, obviously. Then you had one of our players down. I can't remember. It was quite... Ferguson down. So that's, four occasions where you're counting up time and going towards... And I was like, yeah, 9 minutes is about right. I don't know why you're moaning about that. But yeah, it's good. It's good because it teaches them not to waste time. I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, if you're worried about having 9 minutes added on, don't play act. Don't, not saying Onana play acted, by the way, but don't go down so easily. Don't stay down and don't waste time, because, yeah, they will be added on. So I suppose maybe that's one way to hopefully counteract it, is where all the stoppages get allocated to extra time and we do see a full match played. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a bit broken at the moment, the system, and something needs to change. And I don't really know what, but something has.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I agree. And just another, just one talking point I wanted to bring up was Evan Ferguson, just changing the subject a bit. I saw a lot of Irish fans particularly really angry at us in how we're apparently misusing him, and apparently we're De Zerbi out is what some of them were saying. And in fact, I actually got a message from someone. Yeah, I'll call it. Shout out Brian. He's a nice enough guy, but I don't agree with you whatsoever on this. And he's from... Here you go. So he said to me, example... about Evan Ferguson, right? He said, so this is, he says he's been completely mismanaged. His confidence has been shattered. And that De Zerbi calling him out in the public is bad. And he said to me, Evan will be better at a different project. He needs confidence, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, hang on, before we even talk about the ridiculous claims there, name me a better project than here for a young player. The famously failed place for young talents is Brighton. Like, I don't know that one. And also, just to say, the kid's 19, right? The kid's 19. If you could name me five players of his, five strikers of the Premier League era who have been as successful as Evan at his age, at this point in his career, I'll wait. And you'll give me Wayne Rooney, you'll give me Michael Owen, there you go. You've named me some generational talents of the past, right?
Aaron Connolly.
Then you look at... yeah, I said as successful as. But then you look at, like, for example, Harry Kane, right? A good example here. When Harry Kane was Evan Ferguson's age, Maz, he was on loan in the Championship. So what more sort of context and perspective do you need than that? So I don't get why people sort of... I get that you maybe sometimes you want more, but he's a 19-year-old striker in the Prem, mate. Like, it's levels, right? So yeah. I think he actually didn't do too bad yesterday. He's a goal away from everyone loving him again. But at the same time, just give him time. You know what I mean? It's the same as Facundo. Mm. It's the same as all these players. Just give him time. Valentin Barco is not in the squad. What are we going to do? He signed 2 weeks ago. He's had like three training sessions. He's from Argentina. He's 19. What do these people think? That it hurts my head. I'll let you react to that now, but it just had to get that off about that.
No, mate, 100% agree with you. I think let's be perfectly honest and frank. Ferguson hasn't been good, in my opinion, for the last 3 months or so. But that's not to say he's lost his ability. It's not to say he's, you know, all of a sudden this terrible player because, you know, he's had a bad couple of months on the pitch. Don't get me wrong, yesterday I thought he was actually okay. I didn't think he, you know, did anything particularly wrong. He was pretty good. His link-up play was good. But yeah, I don't think he's been the Ferguson we saw at the back end of last season. But again, like you said, that's understandable. He's young. He's still learning. And we got to remember as well, he had that illness, that mystery illness, which kept him out for a while, do you remember? And he sort of, it feels like since he came back from that, he hasn't quite been the same. So I don't know if there's some still, you know, after effects of that injury or, you know, that mystery illness he had. I think that definitely is potentially a thing. But yeah, you can't say he's a terrible player. You can't say, oh, he's not a wonder kid anymore. He's, you know, he's not this, he's not that, he's terrible. Get him out of the club. It's like, the guy's 19, like you said, Ryan. He's still so young. He's still got so much development to go, and he's so early on in his career that you can't, you know, start saying these kind of like outlandish things. But yeah, just quickly on Barco, actually, really quickly, Leon, shout out Leon. He's a personal trainer, and he actually trains Julio and Ciso, and now Valentin Barco
and me.
And he actually got a message from Barco. And he actually got a message from Barco this morning saying, are we doing any training today? And I thought that was class. I was like, on a Sunday, after a game, I know he didn't play, but on a Sunday, to message him at like 7 in the morning going, oh, we got training today. Like, I think that shows the kind of mentality that Barco's got. So hopefully that's a good omen for us, and it shows the kind of player that Barco's going to be. But yeah, going back to Ferguson, let's not be too harsh on him. And he's still got a long, long way to go in his development. And I'm sure he's going to come back to his best. And hopefully we're going to see the Evan Ferguson of last season, this season, fingers crossed.
No, I agree. I think it's just one of them things that people don't quite get. For some reason, they don't quite get, but they don't. But yeah, I don't get the Ferguson slander. And as you say with Barco, he's obviously a very determined kid. As if, you know, that with that. And I think Argentinian fans rate him as such a big talent, you know, and so did with Facundo. Do you remember when he came over, and even beginning of this season, people were sort of giving him a bit of this and that, and I thought yesterday was, yeah, he was so good yesterday. And actually, there's a few question marks, wasn't there, over the substitutions and maybe making three subs, particularly two fullbacks, was a mistake, possibly. I think maybe with Lamptey, in Lamptey's case, I think he could have stayed on, but I think we've got to protect him. We've got big games coming, and you know what he's like. Igor, yeah, maybe, I think, is the only one I'd probably agree with. Facundo, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a good opportunity,
you know,
for Julio, but go on.
Do you know, Ryan, what I thought we really lacked yesterday was those overlapping fullbacks. And I thought Igor didn't do that at all. He's more of a sort of, he didn't really have those sort of surging runs on the outside. But you want to see, I remember Estepina did it once towards the end of the game where he overlapped, I think it was Fati, and like he played him in, and he does that classic thing where, which I love. I love seeing those overlapping wingbacks because I think it gives us a different dimension, and it helps out players like Adingra, for example, where, let's say, and which happened, I think, yesterday, was where Adingra couldn't really beat his man towards the end, where and then he had that overlapping fullback. If you've got that, it's a different option, and it frees you up a bit more to be more expressive. So that's what I was sort of lacking, I thought, with Lamptey and Igor yesterday. And maybe that's what De Zerbe was thinking, is let's get Estepina, who's an overlapping fullback. Veltman, not so much maybe, but obviously very reliable and, you know, can do a job. So yeah, maybe that's what he was thinking, was maybe. But yeah, I thought Estepinian didn't have a great game, and I know De Zerbe's called him out recently for being below his usual standards, which is, I think, is fair. I think you can definitely say that he hasn't been his best, which is weird because when he came back, he obviously, that goal against Tottenham, that goal against who was it in the cup, Sheffield United, like I thought, oh, you know, Estepinian's back. And then, yeah, his form has dipped a little bit since then. But no, I think the substitutions, I can maybe see De Zerbe wanting to make a change, but maybe got it wrong. It's a tough one to say. Obviously, when you guys are down to 10 men, it does make it way more difficult, doesn't it?
Estupiñán, sorry, I did dip out there. But yeah, Estupiñán. It's interesting you say that. Obviously, I asked De Zerbe about him last week. Hence where the quotes sort of went around and people can read them. From my gauge of it, it sounds like he just wants more as opposed to him technically slating him. I think people sort of see criticism publicly and think he's not happy with Estupiñán. But I mean, he spoke about where he invited Ansu Fati and Purvis round, and he said that, you know, it's a different thing for them. He said sometimes players need a different way. Sometimes they don't just need training. They don't just need to be watching the video. Sometimes they actually just need to have an arm around them, come around for dinner. He said they watched the Champions League and had pasta at his house, which must have been pretty cool. But
Billy Gilmore's not getting an invite soon.
yeah, he'll be around for pasta, mate. Don't worry. But yeah, it seems like almost maybe one of them where, you know, Ansu is just, he's quite a sensitive kid by the looks of it. And maybe Purvis, because he's not been in the best of form since coming back, as you say. I agree with him. I don't think Purvis has been great, especially by his good standards. But, you know, what? I don't know. I don't know where it stands, because he's been out for a long time, hasn't he? He's come back. He's not been great, of course. But I don't think he's technically slating him. But I just think he's almost demanding more. And I think maybe, I'd imagine this is the one thing that I think with De Zerbe is, yes, he does things publicly. Some people aren't a fan of it, but you know, I reckon he'll know what players need it and when they need it, because he only seems to do it at certain times. He doesn't just go straight public. He sort of, you know, he could have stated Purvis 3 or 4 weeks ago, but he didn't. And all of a sudden now he's sort of talking about him, and you're like, okay, you know, maybe Purvis needs a bit of a kick to say, look, come on, you know, you're better than this. It's interesting. I wouldn't read too much into it, but hopefully he bounces back, mate. Because he is a good player. Of course, we were only talking about him as best left back in the league a few weeks ago. So, you know, he's a good player. But yeah, I think that's it on Purvis. Really. Who else have we missed anyone, Maz, to talk about? Probably missed someone. Oh yeah, the actual goal.
Yes.
I haven't even spoken about the goal, mate.
Also, Tarek's goal line clearance was fantastic as well. Big shout out to Tarek Lamptey.
I was on my feet applauding that.
Yeah, that was one of the best goal line clearances I think I've seen live. It was fantastic, yeah, the way he got back. And yeah, it was a huge moment, I think. That obviously would have changed the whole game. So yeah, shout out to Tarek.
I can one-up you here. I can definitely one up you here, because the, I don't know if anyone remember this, I don't know if it was against City when we lost like 4-1, but the goal line clearance from Lewis Dunk, I think he was like, he almost overhead kicked it, didn't he?
Fair play.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Fair play. Crazy.
I don't know how I remembered that, but it just randomly came to mind.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Yeah.
Good one. I've got an even more obscure one, and it was Gordon Greer against Watford, I think. And I think it was just, I reckon if there was goal line technology back in 2013, that probably would have been given. But to me, it was a goal line clearance in my books. But yeah, anyway,
we'll take it.
If you remember that one, let me know as well. Okay, cool. So we spoke about Tarek. By the way, he had a good game. It's worth noting. He needs his praises because he is a good player, and he's done well to not get injured again. And I know that sounds quite condescending and horrible, but it's a good point for
it's
him.
It's true,
because
though.
I mean, obviously they must be doing something different. They're obviously monitoring him better, I would say, because before, maybe, I don't know, of course I don't know, I'm not medical staff, but it, maybe was he being rushed a little bit, was he being a little bit pressured before, and maybe they've changed his routine now, was he doing things differently in training? I don't know, but he definitely seems different, doesn't he, Maz? Yeah, as in fitness wise and reliability wise
100%. And I think you're right. I think they are definitely managing it. It's like, even just by playing time, you can see he's coming off in games. You know, he's not playing a full 90 yet, because that's probably where he's most likely to get injured if he plays a full 90. So I think he's definitely being managed much better. And you never know, they might be doing different things in training. You know, he might have his own certain drills that he does. He has his own, training regimen. Again, we don't know. We're not medical experts, but it definitely feels like he's on his more of a better path in terms of his injury. But look, let's not jinx it, Ryan. I think I feel like that's what we're going to do. He's going to get bloody injured next game now. But fingers crossed he stays fit, mate. Because when he's fully fit and he's fully on form, he is such an asset to the team. So fingers crossed he does keep fit.
Yeah, I think we underrate him a bit. Like just remembering him in lockdown and stuff, and just how good he was. Like, wasn't it Bayern Munich wanted him for a crazy fee straight away? And it was the first time we were hearing about crazy fees, wasn't it? And he's a great talent. He's a very unique talent. You know, not many Tarek Lamptey's in the game where, you've got someone that can go literally 0 to 100 mile an hour in 2 seconds. And I think it's just great to watch him. Mm. Hopefully for his sake and our sake, he can stay fit for more than the rest of this season. Okay, so that's nearly everything done now. Let's talk about the goal, because this was a good moment. And it took me by surprise. I must admit, I had us written off. I was a bit doom and gloom, and I probably wasn't the only one. I doubt if you're an honest Brighton fan, and you're not going to be one of them overly positive annoying people, let's be honest, I had that game done. That was me finished. My head was gone. I was very unhappy. I was completely out of it, and I thought, this ain't gonna go in. Like, we don't score. Like, let's be honest. We've seen this script before. We've seen Brighton lose their heads against a team smaller than them. That is not a disrespect. Their team's below them. And then all of a sudden, we're losing to relegation-threatened sides. Look, I hold my hands up. I was a very negative guy to be around that yesterday. But that goal from Lewis Dunk completely changed it. And, talk to me about the... I don't want to say the moment itself, because it speaks for itself, but almost the proof that we can do it, Maz. And it had to be Lewis Dunk as well, leading by example.
Yeah, was it? His 400th appearance yesterday. So to get a goal on that big occasion, it was great for him. And mate, Pascal Gross, we wax lyrical about him, I think, every week now, so I won't go too much into him. But three Cruyff... I'm not going to lie, when he did his second Cruyff turn...
Do it again.
I was like... No, but I was like, Pascal, just put the ball in, mate. Just do so, like, just whack it in the box. But yeah, fair play to him. He done, I think, 3 Cruyff turns, turned Beto inside out. And then, a fantastic, fantastic cross and a superb header, a cross goal. And Pickford had no chance. And it was just that pure elation of just knowing, that moment, like you said, like the moment speaks for itself, but knowing that, even with 10 men, we didn't stop fighting and we didn't stop trying. And I thought, that's a really good sign. That's really positive. And we sometimes lack that, I think. Sometimes, as Brighton fans, we're like, the game's done now. We're not going to come back. We're 1-0 down and the game's done. But to show that kind of fight, especially with 10 men, I thought was really, really good. And yeah, just that moment of quality that we needed finally from Pascal, and obviously a great header from Dunk, was just so, so important. And fingers crossed, we can just find consistent, because even before that goal, I was chatting to my mate and I was like, it's just frustrating how inconsistent we are. We can go and beat, you know, one team, was it five against Sheffield? Yeah, 5-0 against Sheffield, and then to be losing 1-0 to Everton. It's just like, where's the consistency, lads? Like, let's just be consistent with it. But yeah, it panned out the way it did. But no, great, great finish to the game. And I'm so glad I stayed till the end, because without naming names, there's a lot of people around me that left, I think about the 90th minute. So shame on you. And that's what you get for leaving.
Don't even get me started, mate. Don't even get me started. Always stay to the end. Always. I don't even just say that to be like some sort of I'm a better fan than you thing. I've just always done it. You know what I mean? Like, I've ever since I was a kid, and my love for the game comes from my dad. And it was, you stay to the end, you clap the players off. That's it. Mm. And that's it. Mm. Because you don't know football. You pay the money to watch the game. And it's like, that's it. And when you see moments like that Lewis Dunk moment, 95th minute, as I say, I was negative. I thought that wasn't going to happen. And dare I say it, Maz, I think maybe, just maybe, not a turning point, because we've not exactly been bad at the moment, but one of those where we look back on at the end of the season as we can do it. I know we didn't win the game, but sometimes you take things away from games. And I think moments like that, I think is definitely more than just the goal to take away from the game. And it's more than just a point, by the way. As I said, it's a point gained when you look at the teams around us losing. Well, especially Newcastle look pretty rough at the moment, don't they?
So there was actually a stat I wanted to bring up, and I think it's a really good segue here. So I shout out to Jake, JL90852 on Twitter, who said, someone said, why are we scraping 1-1 draws against the likes of Sheffield, Everton and Burnley this season? And then he said, well, points picked up against bottom half opposition. Brighton 28, Chelsea 25, Newcastle 21, Wolves 21, West Ham 19. There's a bit of perspective for you. So, yeah, you know, against the bottom halves, we have picked up more than Chelsea, Newcastle, Wolves and West Ham. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. And we are still seventh in the league. You know, there's still really good. You know, we're not in a rut. We're not losing games. We're not, you know, we haven't gone...
What was it? No.
15 games, you know, winless. it's we're in a good spot here. Let's not panic. Let's not, you know, let's all chill out a little bit. And just finally on the whole leaving early thing, I just wanted to give my opinion. Look, I'm not one of those I've left games early before. I'm not going to claim I'm there every game, but only time I've done that is if, like, I've had an emergency, or I've had to, for example, if I was traveling back to London, it's a night game at, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, and I've got to go. And let's say we're losing, for example, then I will, you know, be like, right, it makes sense for me to do the logical thing here and leave before I hit traffic. But when I can, and 9 times out of 10, I will stay to the end. But look, if you've got emergencies, if you've got a valid reason for leaving early, you do you, man. But everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But yeah, just final say on that one.
You're way more accepting than me. I'm just like, yeah, just don't.
Yes, yeah. my nan's dying. Ryan's like, stay at the stadium.
Come on now. But yeah, I think if you ever seen me coming out of the Abex, it's quite fun. It's one of my most fun things. Me and my dad just go for an absolute sprint back to the university car park. I love it.
That's what we park.
Tell you
what,
he is fitter than me by an absolute mile. He run, what, 8 miles yesterday? I don't know how he does it. He's in impeccable shape for
why didn't he do the half marathon?
Sort of jogging behind him. Oh, yeah, I know. I actually said that to him, you know. He said he would have done it, but too flat, so he wanted some more hills. And I suppose there's a couple of hills in the half marathon, but I don't know. We'll see. He's mad. But yeah, there's me sort of behind him going like this. He's like, come on, Ryan. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm coming. But yeah, no, if you've ever seen me and my dad running out of a game, if you haven't, done, keep an eye out, because you probably see us running past you on the way back to the university car park. That's how we get out after the game and still overtake everyone that left on the 85th. Cool. I think that's just about everything, really. I think we've covered everything pretty well. Up the Albion, mate. Hopefully who have we got next is Wolves, isn't it, in the cup? Oh, it's on my birthday, weirdly. You know, the famous birthday curse. Let's see if on Wednesday it's going to stand. We did beat Stoke last season, so it's not all bad. But yeah, Wolves are a bit of a different kettle of fish to Stoke, of course. But I'll
comments down below.
I know it's not for Wolves preview, but what do you reckon for the
Wolves? Do you know what? I think it's a great opportunity to win something, get a bit of silverware. So why not? Let's go for it. There's no reason why we can't feel confident going into it. We can beat Wolves. We can beat anyone on our day. So yeah, if we go there and, you know, give it our all, and we might see a few, you know, we might see a Barco appearance. We might see Nciso get a considerable amount of playing time.
So
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game, I think. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's going to be on BBC as well for the people that aren't travelling to Wolves away. So, yeah, should be a good spectacle. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Julio, because otherwise we'd have forgotten about him there. And it's good to see him back, of course, 4 or 5 months.
Oh, of course,
out.
Yes. Yeah, it was a
maybe looked a little
moment.
Bit shocked, didn't he? He looked a little bit scared, but I thought he did a decent job for it. To be honest, I thought he wasn't too bad. But considering he was back and literally raw, like, you know, he's been out for so long.
Yeah,
good to see him back. He got a nice little ovation, didn't he? As did Simon
really nice.
Before the game, and muchly deserved.
Yeah, no, it was really nice to see him get clapped on it. Like, even when he's warming up, everyone was, you know, giving him big cheers. And when he came on, the noise in the Amex was great. Like, when he came, it was a massive roar. And yeah, I'm sure that he's going to love that. And you could see him smiling. Him and Antu were, like, smiling at the fans and, you know, the North Stand cheering him on. So, yeah, always nice to see.
Yeah, agree. And yeah, shout out Julio, shout out Simon Adingra, our AFCON winner. Welcome back. And yeah, bring on Wolves, bring on a major trophy. God, could you imagine it? But yeah, anyway, Maz, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you for joining me, of course. Comments below, what are we saying?
Happy birthday, Ryan. There we go. Bash.
It's not a birthday yet. I'm not going to have that. Let's go with welcome back, Julio. Welcome back, Julio. Okay, yeah. As much as that was a nice thought.
Right. Yeah, I tried to be nice.
Beautiful.
But...
Perfect.
Right.
Nah, don't be nice. Rubbish. Anyway, cheers. Like, comment, subscribe. All that good stuff. We'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
3 days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.